Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live on
Happy
this wonderful
Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We trust you had a great day.
Amen.
And if you didn't, you're going to have a great evening.
That's right. Because we have a word. The Lord has a word for you.
He does.
He told us about it. Kind of last minute, but he told us about it. So
early this morning when I was in the chairs praying. Okay, this is the day that changed everything.
Amen.
Let me say that again. This is the day that changed everything. You know, on this day where we spend eternity, changed.
Right.
On this day, how we live our lives, changed. On this day, how we face adversity, hard times, attacks of the enemy, changed. On this day, we gain the victory over sickness, disease, addiction, affliction, and poverty. But truthfully, our celebration shouldn't be on just this particular day that we recognize as Easter.
Mm.
We really should be celebrating that every day.
That's right.
I learned that at an early age from my mom and dad, that every day is Thanksgiving. Every day is Christmas. Every day we need to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Every day. But no doubt Easter should be a shouting time for Christians.
Well, if it isn't, I can tell you, by the time we get through tonight, you'll be shouting. We have
it's shouting because we have the resurrection power.
That's right.
Of God flowing through our veins.
Amen.
Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You go, girl. Romans 8.
Loosed in our lives. Romans 8:11 in the New Living Translation. Now listen to this. You know it, but boy, we're going to team it up with some scriptures that are really going to make you shout and run around. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same living Spirit within you. Whew! Not only is that promise real for us today, but the one who promised it has the power and the authority to do it. Scripture backs that up. Matthew 28:18 has become one of my favorite scriptures. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, the Lord Jesus says he has all power in heaven. He has all power in earth. That means that the only power the enemy, the devil of your soul has at all is what we give him through the words we speak. Think about that. Let it sink in.
You need to say that again.
The only power.
Scripture says, we just read it.
That's right.
All power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
That's what Jesus
said. So if he has all power, the devil has none. The only power he has over us, it's what we enable him with.
That's right.
By the words of our mouths, by the words that we speak.
And he's a great deceiver. He is a great deceiver. But the word of God applied can put him in his place.
There are many verses that talk about the power of our words.
Mm.
But here are two that you can chew on.
Amen. Proverbs 13:3. This is an empowering day. Proverbs 13:3, this is in the New International Version. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. That's powerful.
It is.
Listen to this. Matthew 12:36-37 says, I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
As Christians, we have the power to defeat everything the enemy throws our way.
I mean,
nothing
on that
can prevail against us.
That's right. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The first word for power used in Luke 10:19 is the Greek word exousia, and it means power, but it means the power as in authority power. And the second time it's used, the word power in that scripture is dunamis. And that is the power as in abilities. So if we're going to read Luke 10:19 in this translation, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you."
Now that all explained to us why we ought to be shouting.
That's right.
On Resurrection Sunday and every other day.
That's it.
Well, when Jesus was on earth, he gave his disciples a taste of what they were going to experience in the book of Acts. And, after his crucifixion.
That's right.
What they would experience.
And he gave it to them in Matthew 10, verse 11. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Remember when he sent them out two by two? Well, in Romans 8, verse 11, remember it says the same resurrection power, we read it, that raised Jesus from the dead will manifest and flow through us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. That means...
You go.
That's okay. Go ahead.
That means in Matthew 9, when Jesus spoke to the lame man and said, "Take up your mat and be on your way."
Hallelujah.
We should be doing the same thing.
Because in verse 8, we just read Matthew 9, we left off at 7. This is what verse 8 says. "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men."
Are we getting a hold of this? The same resurrection power.
That's right.
That raised Jesus from the dead flows through our lives. Hallelujah.
Mm-mm.
Now, the word power occurs 57 times in the New Testament. And it's used to describe the day that changed everything. It describes the most powerful event in history. An event that separated BC from AD.
That's right.
It's used to describe the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
It changed time.
It changed time. It changed history.
That's right.
It changed everything. Because it was no longer BC. It was now AD.
Not before Christ. It was after death.
Because of that resurrection power.
That's right. Philippians 3:10 in the King James Version. Paul said, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection."
Now get ready for what we're going to share next. You've got it on your outline. You read along with it. Mm-hmm. But Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3:19 and 20 in the Classic Amplified is as real to us today as it was back then.
That's right.
This applies to us today.
And we're not even taking the time to read all of it. This is just the end of this. So you need to go back and read Ephesians 3. It says that you may really come to know, this is in the Classic Amplified Bible, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves. That's what we're supposed to be doing the experience for ourselves. The love of God, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Then, after describing all that, it says, "Now to him," this is giving glory and honor to God, "now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us," that we're allowing to work within us is what he's saying, "is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." He wants to take it beyond anything we can even think of, and we can think of a lot of things. Hallelujah.
Paul used the root word dunamis that we found in Luke
10:19. That's right.
Which is the root word of dynamite.
That's where we get our word dynamite.
So Paul was saying that we not only have dynamic power, but we have dynamite power.
That's right.
That can change our lives and the lives of everyone around us. And yes, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago is available right now to transform us, to transform our weaknesses into our strengths, that we can be about kingdom business.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not only on Resurrection Sunday,
but every day of the year.
That's it.
Let's go a little further. This morning, during my time in prayer time in the two chairs, which I am going to teach before long.
He's working on it.
You've heard me mention it. I am working on it as I get to it. I may read it again before I do it a third time. But anyhow, I was praying that every person who attends church today.
You were feeling dynamite power in your prayers.
Everybody who attended church today, anywhere in the world, got saved. I was praying that people who, so that they would know that by accepting Jesus, they could spend eternity with Him.
Amen.
And that it was not an April Fool's joke.
That's right. It's real.
It's real. And I prayed for those who'd been saved to catch a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost.
That's what we're doing tonight.
I mean, and I prayed for those who've been battling sickness and disease to be instantly healed.
Yes.
As they walked into church.
Hallelujah.
They talk about shadow of
Peter,
you know, walking into church, the breeze that you make when you walk is like a Holy Ghost breeze coming through. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, where he ended up with, and the four words that can transform your life, that he had me.
It just grabbed you today.
It did. Is John 15:16.
We taught it in Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Tall part of it.
And my husband, said, this is it. This is it. In John 15, verse 16.
Just that.
That's right.
But he wanted more.
This is what he says in John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
That verse contains seven power-packed thoughts.
There you go.
And we're going to talk about them. First, God chose you. As a kid growing up, did you ever play sports or games where teams were chosen? Generally, two captains took turns picking members of their team.
That's it.
Well, and I don't answer this, but were you the first one chosen or the last one chosen? In the real world, we
come up against that.
We come up against that. And if you're not chosen, you have to watch the game from the sidelines. Or go, well, I guess we'll take so-and-so to be on our team. But here's the good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
God chose you.
That's right.
God chose you to be on His team. And if he had to do it all over again, God would still choose you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He chose you. And He only asked one thing, to have faith in Him.
Amen.
Have faith in Him.
There's no way that we can qualify for being good enough. I mean, we can't. God chose us, and He had a reason for it. Ephesians 2, verse 8 in the Classic Amplified. If you think, well, I'm not quite good enough, and you know that was heard all across in churches all across the world. It's like, you don't have to get good enough before God chooses you. God chooses you, and then He helps you out. It says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. That's what's required of us. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. This is in the Classic Amplified Bible. I love that because it really makes it clear to you. Not because of works. Remember, you know, it says not the fulfillment of the law's demands. He was talking to Jewish people that felt like they had to live up to the demands of the law. He says, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. So there is nothing
to be good enough.
Exactly.
Work hard enough.
Study hard enough. Exactly.
No way.
That's right.
It's only through the power working through us that we can do anything for the kingdom of God.
And that's an important thing to remember.
It is.
In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, in the Living Bible, it says, "But you are not like that, for you have been chosen by God Himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. He has made us pure because He took our sin on Himself, Jesus did, and gave us His righteousness. That is what we function under." Which leads us in the second one, really.
Second part of that
scripture.
John 15:16.
That's right.
God ordained you. Not only were we chosen and made priests to the King, but listen to 2 Corinthians 5:20, ESV.
That's it. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us." You know what an ambassador is? When we send an ambassador from the United States to another country, he embodies everything that is the power of the United States. He speaks for the president and the power that is in the United States. So an ambassador is one who speaks for the country which sent him. We've been sent from God's throne to speak for Him.
We're chosen to be His light.
That's right.
In the world.
Mm. Acts 13, verse 47 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "For so the Lord has charged us, saying, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, the heathen, that you may bring eternal salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth."
Hallelujah. And Jesus turns nobody away.
That's right.
He wants all to come to Him.
Mark 10, verse 16. We're giving you a lot of ammunition tonight. In the Classic Amplified Bible says, "And He took them, the children, up one by one in His arms and fervently invoked a blessing, placing His hands upon them." He loved everybody from the smallest to the very oldest. I heard I don't know if you caught that this week, but there's a Barna study, you know, that does. And they said, I was flabbergasted. I think it was like 67, age 67, said they did all of these. They interviewed all these people, and nobody younger than 67 that they asked knew what the Great Commission was. The Great Commission. I mean, we are missing something, folks. If people do, if our young people do not know what the Great Commission is.
Teaching the wrong thing at church.
That's it. It was amazing to me.
And you want your kids to have a good time at church.
Yeah.
But you want them to learn something as well.
Amen.
I mean, that's why they go. You know.
It is fun being saved, but it's fun with the salvation parts what makes it fun. I got carried away.
And we should go and bring forth fruit.
Amen.
It's time to do the business of the kingdom so we can bear fruit worthy of the call on our lives.
Yes.
It's our responsibility to find our call and do it.
Yeah. Colossians 1 verse 10, Classic Amplified Bible says, "That you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him and desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition."
Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't just call for us to bring forth fruit. It gives us direction on how to do it.
I know, it's amazing. Amazing. John 15, we've got this. It's 1 through 8. I'm going to zip through it.
Actually, 1 through 7.
Excuse me. Oh, yeah, true. 1 through 7. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, He cuts away, trims, takes away, and He cleanses and repeatedly prunes each branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit." Have you ever been pruned? Oh, yeah. We're seeing the nod of heads. You know, the Lord... It says, "You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I've discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you."
Hallelujah.
"Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me.
Wow.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Wow. That's
powerful.
There's so much there. I want to break down.
When you consider it in the concept,
the oral
concept of what we're talking about.
Unbelievable.
The Lord gives us direction.
That's right.
Which leads us to the fourth point.
That's right.
Fourth, that our fruit should remain. We've been chosen so that our fruit will remain here on planet Earth.
That's right.
Our calling is like the first disciples to produce fruit that remains. What kind of fruit lasts? Let me just tell you. If you put an orange, a fresh banana, in a lunchbox, you can get it about for a month or two.
Ooh.
I don't think you're going to find it too appetizing when you go to take a bite. Lasting is not generally a characteristic of ordinary fruit. It is not a characteristic. Fruit doesn't naturally last if left alone. It rots.
That's right.
It's that simple. So if the fruit God has commissioned us to bear is lasting fruit, then it's not natural fruit, but supernatural fruit.
That's good.
And that's what we need. The fruit that will last that each of us is appointed to bear is the fruit that God, through the Holy Spirit, bears through us.
Love, joy, peace, etc.
It's not our fruit at all.
That's right. That's right.
And I think perhaps for some,
it's a fruit that's of His Spirit.
You know, maybe a daunting, but a seriously exciting prospect. But that's the case of what it is. God's purpose and desire for us during our relatively short time on planet Earth is that we will bear fruit that lasts. And by the way, His fruit, supernatural fruit, has no use-by date on it.
No
expiration date. Fruit that never wears out, never rots, never dies, never disappears. In other words, fruit that is eternal. That's what we're talking about, eternal fruit. I know for years, when younger years, when I heard the scripture about fruit, I'm thinking apples, bananas, oranges, grapes. That's what I'm thinking about. But that's not a good analogy, because that'll rot and go away. God is intensely wants to see us bear the supernatural kind of fruit. And we can find out just how keen He is on that with His next scripture.
With the scripture on, we read John 15, 1 through 7. This is verse 8.
Wow.
It says, "When you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine." So all of that abiding in the vine, you know, is the stuff that produces. We may be given giftings, but our fruit is what we develop. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, you know, the gentleness, kindness. It's what we develop to be able to bring those things, to fruition.
To fruition.
So anyway.
Fifth. Now, are you going to read Matthew 7:16?
Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew 7:16, that's a good one. I don't want to forget that. It says, Christians are recognized by the fruit that they do bear. It says, you will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? So what kind of a witness are we for the Lord and all He's done for us? That's our question to ask ourselves.
Fifth, and again, this is all a part of John 15:16.
That's right.
Fifth, whatever we ask.
Wow.
The last part of that verse says that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you.
Mm.
So if your Heavenly Father is willing to give you what you ask Him for, does that sound like He wants you to accept your lot in life as some reason not to have or anything or to
be unproductive?
To be unproductive, unfruitful.
That's it, unfruitful.
Not really. But here's the good news. When we're productive for the kingdom of God, He'll give us whatever we ask Him. And let me just say this. Put everything in a proper perspective. Some people think the only way they can be productive for the kingdom of God is if they're standing in a pulpit or standing before lots of people or speaking to them, or they see what they perceive as leadership as being the success they should be reaching for. But let me just tell you, when a mama teaches her babies right from wrong, when a mama loves her babies, that's producing fruit. Because those children will grow up to be productive, and people will not have to, society will not have to come in and intervene.
That's right.
That's being productive. If you work in a nursery at church, and that's being productive.
Amen.
Some people say, I don't want to work in a nursery in church. I might miss something. You're not gonna miss anything. If God's got something for you, He'll get it to you. Tell you a quick story with Brother John Avanzini, Dr. Creflo Dollar's church, and they were making announcements, prayer requests, and they asked for him to pray because they were about to repossess her house, and all she had left was like $18,000. And Brother John looked over at Creflo and said, "Is that woman in the church?" And they asked and said, "Is she in the sanctuary?" And somebody said, "No, she's working in the nursery." And Brother John said, "Can you go get her?"
So they went and got her and brought her in.
He looked at her and said, "When I heard your prayer request, the Lord just told me that our ministry is to give you $18,000 to pay your mortgage in full." Now this woman's in there changing somebody's baby's diaper. But God knew where she was at.
Amen.
And He brought an answer to her. So here's the thing. Never think the only way you can serve God is in some public elevated position. God can give blessings to you wherever you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important message.
The key is faithfulness. And the key is, it doesn't matter if you're clean in the bathroom, do what you can to help the kingdom. If the Lord wants you somewhere else, He'll bring you somewhere else. But the point of it is to just be faithful. The body of Christ, we have the head, which is Jesus, and then we all fit in a certain part. If everybody was in the part where they belonged, and the finger wasn't wanting to be attached to the knee because they felt like that was the position they needed, if everybody was in their place, the world could get saved in a week.
In a week.
I mean, because the head just says move, and all the parts are moving in the right position. So, it is a matter of finding what it is that we do. We don't need to be puffed up, and we just need to find what it is we're supposed to be doing and do it and be faithful in it.
I think what we just did was an important digression for a moment, but when we get back to the point on this.
Yeah.
Since I took the diversion, when we're productive for the kingdom,
right,
God will give us whatever we ask Him.
That's it.
And that's an amazing offer.
That is.
You'd have to be a hamburger short of a Happy Meal not to take advantage of that life, that kind of life-changing offer.
Amen. Leviticus 20, verses 22 through 24 in the Contemporary English Version says, "Obey my laws and teachings, or else the land I am giving you will become sick of you and throw you out. The nations I am chasing out did these disgusting things, and I hated them for it. So don't follow their example. I am the Lord your God, and I have promised you their land that is rich with milk and honey. I have chosen you to be different from other people."
I didn't underline that last sentence, but I encourage you to do it. I have chosen you to be different from other people.
That's right.
6, in our Father's name, you've been chosen. And you've been chosen to be productive for the kingdom, so that God will make you prosperous in all that your hands find to do.
Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, of your cattle, of your land, for good. For the Lord will again delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers.
I want to tell you that when I read that first time, it made me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I read how the Lord delights in prospering me, not just anybody else, but he wants to prosper me. And as the scripture says, he wants me to be abundantly prosperous. But we must be productive. What we do must be making a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those who we come in contact with.
And the point of it, too, is that we need to be letting the vine, you know, be attached to the vine, know the word, be working the word, and standing on the word. And that's where we're being developed. John 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in the name of the Father, in my name, he may give it you.
Hallelujah.
There's that John 15, 16 again.
When we're productive for the kingdom, God will give us what we're asking. We're not making that up. It's in the book.
That's right.
It's in the book. Seventh, he shall give it to us.
He'll give it to us. Psalm 37, verse 4 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart.
Hallelujah. The way to receive your heart's desire is to delight in him.
And what would that be? Reading the word, obeying what he says, going when you don't want to go and maybe doing some things you don't want to do or you don't think you do, but it's life-changing.
And it also means
when you're obedient.
That he should be the first desire of our heart.
That's right.
That's what it means. It really does. I think it's significant that the word and, A-N-D, is present in the scripture you just read. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our hearts. That's right. Each of us, not just your pastor, some international missionary or pastor, preacher, author, not even the most dedicated saint in your congregation. He will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for desires is H4862, and it means petition, desire. And that comes from a root word H7592, which means to ask for, to be given on request, to grant, make over to, let one ask successfully. That root word appears 173 times. And 157 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. It's interesting to note that in 132 of those 157 verses, the Hebrew word is translated ask, inquire, desire, require. Ask 94 times out of 132.
The Living Bible translation of Psalm 37, verse 4 says, be delighted with the Lord, then he will give you all your heart's desires.
That scripture doesn't say that he might give you the desires of your heart. Scripture doesn't say that he could give you the desires of all your heart. It doesn't say that he should give you all the desires of your heart. Scripture doesn't say he'll give you some of the desires of your heart. It doesn't say he'll give you most of the desires of your heart. The scripture doesn't. It didn't even say he'll give you the most pressing desires of your heart. No, the scripture says that the Lord God will give you all your heart's desires.
When you delight in him, when delighting in him, and he will give you those desires.
Do it because he chose you and you obeyed him.
That's it.
You did what he said.
He chose you for something special and
he did choose us for something special.
Yes, he has.
I love these next several
scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 in the Classic Amplified Bible. O brethren, beloved by God, we recognize and know that He has selected, chosen you.
Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Are you looking at the outline and reading that scripture? Of all the people currently drawing breath on planet Earth, God, the master of the universe, has chosen you. He's chosen you. The next two verses that we're going to read to you, they're going to make you shout. I'm just telling you they will. Because the first time I ever read this verse made me shout, jump up and down, if I remember right. Go hallelujah.
That's it. 1 Thessalonians 4:5 in the Message Bible translation. 1 Thessalonians 4:4-5. God not only loves you very much, but also has put His hand on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions.
Hallelujah.
Good one to Hallelujah. Personalize.
Hallelujah. God not only loves Felicia very much, but also has His hand her for something special. When the message we preached came to Felicia, it wasn't just words. Something happened in Felicia. The Holy Spirit was still in her convictions. God not only loves Judy very much, but He also put His hands on her for something special. Amen. When the message we preached came to Judy, it wasn't just words. Something happened in Judy. The Holy Spirit put steel in her convictions. God not only loves Maya very much, but He also put His hand on her for something special. When the message we preached came to Maya, it wasn't just words. Something happened in Maya. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit put steel in her convictions. I wish I had time to do everybody here. And no way I could do everybody watching around the world because, frankly, I don't know who you are.
Not all of you. Just the ones who write.
Ones who email us. But I want to say this to you. I put this in the outline. Yeah. And I encourage you to personalize it
Please.
For you. Robert, put your name in it.
Make it real and personal.
To you.
That's right.
And you see, it doesn't matter whether you can play sports or an instrument in the band or growing up or singing in the glee club or you sing in the choir, you're a soloist in the cantata today. I like saying that, cantata. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the best athlete on the church softball team, or best bowler in your bowling league. None of that matters. You have something special to achieve in your life. God not only made sure you were born, He chose you for an amazing assignment. He chose you. And this is a great day to begin your journey.
To fire that up again in yourself. Amen.
Not settle for.
That's right. Not think you're not, it's not mattering. Just be faithful. Just be faithful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say that at the same time, baby.
Amen. That's true.
Well, God is good.
He is.
I have chosen you.
That's right.
God has chosen you. Get it down inside of you. Take your mouse. Move up to the top where it says, sow a seed if you've been blessed. Just ask God what seed it have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask or will ever ask. And until tomorrow morning, listen to me. You need to listen to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast every day.
Fire you up.
Every day. If you can't listen to it live at 8:30, listen to the playback. But if you need some pep in your step, you know, then you need to listen.
Fire to go out the
door. Some zip in your spirit. That didn't work out right, but anyhow, if you only want to be fired up and motivated, check out Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Please do.
Tell your mama, tell your papa, tell your friends, tell everybody. It'll bless you.
It will.
Hallelujah. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you and happy Resurrection Sunday.